Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
Wow, that was just Michael Bublé, and if that didn't make you feel good, I don't know what does. Hello, everybody. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is Darcy Butkus, our very, very first show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm really happy to be a part of this exciting episode. So we're going to have more radio shows to come, and thank you so much for listening in. With me today, I have two wonderful producers that are in different locations, Robin in Central Florida and Sherry in South Florida. So thank you, ladies, my producers, for helping this come to fruition. As you know today, everybody, we are here to talk about South Florida dog rescues in general. Introduction to South Florida dog rescues, you decide, good or bad. That was the title of our very first show. And I want to talk a little bit about what our objectives will be going down the road, what I want to accomplish along with my team. And I just want to read to you a couple things that are important. First of all, if you didn't read the subtitle of the radio show today, I want to read it to you. We live in South Florida. We align ourselves with those that care deeply for the animal's well-being. First and foremost, the dog's needs are our number one priority. Nothing else matters. This team is committed to educate the public and make aware of those in rescue that may not be putting the animal's needs first, but instead, maybe living off of the dog's donations. We also will acknowledge those that we rate as top shelf. This team is here to educate the community far and wide here in South Florida and beyond. Let the world know we aim to get rid of the riffraff of rescue in South Florida. Join us weekly on Blog Talk Radio, Wednesdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This team is here to make a difference in the dog's best interest, his or her life. Again, nothing else matters. Accompany myself, Darcy Odie Butkus, and her team of serious dog lovers. We are here to help spread the word about South Florida rescues and raise the bar to those that rate an A-plus in our book. Come join our team. Serious dog lovers apply only. As you know, some of you know who I am and how I got started in dog rescue almost 3 years ago. I think it's important, listening to my voice through the radio waves, you need to know who I really am. You may see my picture on Facebook, but some of you are far, far away, and we have supporters that are across the world, and I thank you for that. I will also talk about our Facebook page, and if you haven't liked it, I will ask you to like it at the end of this two-hour segment. I wanted to become involved in dog rescue as a volunteer. October of 2010 is when I stepped foot into it. And when I thought about somebody wanting to do dog rescue, I thought, wow, what a wonderful person. I started volunteering by posting on Facebook. Many of you know that my first volunteer position was with Death Row Dog Rescue. Well, sadly, that turned out to not be what I expected. And the snowball started rolling down the hill. Several of us, who I helped recruit as volunteers, came on board to help her. We thought she was doing good by the dogs. More and more dogs kept coming onto the property, dogs crossing the state lines, 20-something dogs on this one-third of an acre in Davie. It got to be crazy and out of hand. And with the solid team that we formed, we couldn't, sadly, help change what was occurring, and we all walked away. Most of us walked away shaking our head, saying we're going to go take our energy and put it into a positive facet, work with another rescue, do whatever it takes, volunteer at the Humane Society. As you know, a Facebook page came up that was not mine. It was called Death Row Dog Rescue the Scam. The original person is now in Orlando by the name of Kelly Rhea Light. She happened to take a dog and foster for Diana Peters from Death Row Dog Rescue. She went to the property there where she was renting. She took the dog. Within 48 hours, that dog had hatched thousands and thousands of worms. She woke up, her fiancé and her woke up, and there was this huge batch of freshly laid worms. It was awful. When she went back to the rescue and asked for help, she literally was turned away. So that page lay dormant for months, and she watched it, and she watched it. And then you know the whole story. After we all left, months later, Sherry and Joe Manfredi stepped in to help this so-called wonderful woman, who calls herself Joan of Arc. They also witnessed within a short period of time how she was not really caring for the dog's well-being and was taking donations and keeping them for her own self-satisfaction, paying her rent, what have you, and not tending to the dog's needs by way of, for example, veterinary costs. That's expensive. We know that. Dogs would lay there, and I witnessed myself a dog that had suffered from a fight with long black hair. It had a severe gash in its neck, and it laid on a dirty floor for 2 days until I went there with Valerie and brought in a vet to see this poor dog that laid there. She kept saying, no, no, the dog's fine. And she'll tell you, all these ex-volunteers will tell you also, that she felt she was better than any other vet. That's wrong. But we're not here to talk about her, but I wanted you to know that's how I stepped into dog rescue. With everybody going their separate directions, and now Death Row Dog Rescue Scam page came alive, I decided I needed to do something. I wanted to help educate the public, make the community aware that just because somebody says they do dog rescue, is that necessarily accurate and is it true? You have to do your own homework, people. You have to do it. Google is a beautiful tool, and just check it out because it's helped me tremendously. Since I've been going on this for almost 3 years, I was totally oblivious to the amount of animals being surrendered by their irresponsible owners. The abuse, the neglect was totally foreign to me. I had no clue, no clue at all. My own close friends, and I mean close friends since I've known, since I was 5 years old, acquaintances, neighbors, are foreign to what is occurring in the shelters here in South Florida and throughout the country, let's face it. But we've got a severe dilemma down here in South Florida, people. I truly believe the general public has no idea of the extent that most of us listening today see, hear, and read about on a daily basis. Take, for example, the Humane Society commercial with Sarah McLachlan. She starts singing that song. What do people do right away, gang? They turn off the radio, turn off the TV. They change the channel. They walk out of the room. They don't want to see it. Am I right? I'm right, because I have a hard time looking at it. But we cannot turn our heads anymore. We have to face this straight on. This is what's occurring to our animals. We just had a news segment, which I'll post on the dog rescue page later today. I happened to listen to it minutes before. And it's about, I think it's Channel 7 or Channel 10. J.C. Birch did a segment just May 13th, so what was that, 2 days ago, where she went into MDAS, which is Miami-Dade Animal Services. And the numbers that they mentioned are so sad. We all know, who's listening, there are several hundred animals being surrendered on a weekly basis at MDAS, which half of them are being put to death. The shelter is packed with unwanted animals. They have 300 cages there at this shelter. It does not cover the amount of the animals. 30,000 animals a year are being taken there, surrendered, unwanted by their irresponsible pet owners. And almost 12,000 are euthanized. That's 40% death sentence. 200 a week are killed and ending up in a landfill. We've got to do something, and I don't believe it can't be done at a local level. They've tried that. Animal advocates have tried picketing, talking to the commissioners. I don't think that's working, people. We've got to get the Pest Trust Fund passed for Dade County. That's crucial, and we'll be hearing more about that, and we'll talk about that at our next radio show. I think we need lobbyists to go up to the state capitol and make these changes. Kathy Labrada was interviewed on this segment, and everybody points the finger at MDAS. They are overworked, not enough employees, but it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It is the fault of the residents citizens of Dade County. Yes, they're talking about a new building coming up in 2015. Oh, great, a bigger one, so more people can come and say, I don't want to take care of this dog anymore, or I don't want this dog anymore because he's too old, he can't see anymore, he's got fleas and ticks, I don't want him. We've got to hold them accountable, which means stricter laws, stricter penalties, and we can do this and must do it by way of the state level. It's got to be from higher up and trickle down. The commissioners know about this in Dade County for years. But I think with this radio show and being able to reach out to not only the locals here in South Florida but beyond, I think we can make a difference. There was one person on this news segment. Again, I will post it later on the Dog Rescue page. She's a volunteer, and her first name was Candace, and she was on the news. She does everything in her power to post on Facebook. And with Facebook, I think that is a wonderful tool. A lot of emotions run high, as we know. People start bashing one another. We've got to put our own feelings aside and do what's best for that dog. And I'm going to focus on dogs. Some people have written in to me and say, well, what about cats? I have to focus on dogs. There's so much to cover, so I apologize. And I try to get the word out if I do know of a cat rescue. Again, I don't know of any per se, if they're reputable. I just have a couple names in my cell phone, and I shared with somebody recently. But I'm going to, when I talk about rescue, I'm really focusing on dog rescue, okay? I'm going to be having a speaker come on at 1 o'clock today, Eastern Standard Time, who is a 501c3 rescue. And I just want to ask her, pick her brain about what she does when it comes to saving an animal. One thing we've talked about in the past is pulling a dog out of a shelter, whether it's Broward Animal Control, whether it's Miami-Dade, whether it's any shelter in the United States. That is the easiest part of the process, people. That is the easiest part. When does the real work begin? It's when that dog leaves that property. Networking, marketing, promoting that dog is crucial to let the public know that this dog is available to come into your loving home. The problem in South Florida is we don't have enough good homes. But then again, I go back to the fact that the general public does not know that this is occurring in our backyard. Again, it is not the fault of the shelter. It is the people that do not spay and neuter their pets. You heard on the news, you'll listen to it later, pregnant mommies, pregnant doggies, their babies are being aborted. If they don't have a place to put that mommy dog, where are they going to put those puppies? Think about it. We've got to be realistic here. As much as we all love the animals, we can't save them all. But we can make a difference. I believe we can make a difference. Our voices need to be heard for the sake of these dogs. We have to be their voice. So with that, I hope my desire for this radio show is to do a weekly radio show on Wednesdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and occasionally throw in an evening program because I know many people work. The beauty of Blog Talk Radio is you can listen in at your leisure, everybody. You can bookmark the link and listen at 10 minutes here, another 15 minutes there, whatever. It's beautiful, and the customer service from Blog Talk Radio so far is phenomenal. I want to extend my sincere appreciation at this time to another host that has helped me, is Barbie. And her program used to be called Chick Chat. She is the main reason why I'm doing this radio show today. And she helped and guided myself and my producers. And I have to say, thank you so much. She is busy doing another radio show with her co-host. So I want to extend my sincere appreciation for her helping us and get on board. But this is exciting. I know that I'm really right now talking about the guidelines, what I want everybody to grasp on what this is going to be all about. You're welcome to call in. I welcome your call. I will tell you, this is not going to be any screaming matches. Emotions run high. We know that. I want it to be kept on a very professional adult level. Again, a professional adult level. We must all agree to disagree. And I have had some disagreements with people, but I'm dealing with mature individuals that we can put it aside and move on because we're doing what's best for who? The dogs. And there's some people out there that may not agree. Well, sorry. Our first and foremost concern is for that animal's well-being. I'm going to give the call number. And if you do want to call in, by all means, please press the number 1 and feel free to call in, and our producers are there standing by. The number to call in is 347-324-5517. Again, that number is area code 347-324-5517. And you can press the number 1, and Robin will bring you in to the switchboard and bring you on air. So if anybody feels free to call in, we're more than welcome to listen to what you have to say because we are here to help the animals and hopefully make changes in the near future. I want to talk about the situation at MDAS as well as Broward Animal Control. And I want to talk about, in the next future show, the laws and how we can change them. I want to wrap my arms around how Palm Beach County, two counties north of Dade County, have done wonderful things in protecting their animals. I ask, why? Why is not Dade County mimicking what Palm Beach County has done? Broward County is in between, and they are literally in between Palm Beach County and Dade County. Why isn't this happening? Why are we not being more aggressive with changing the laws? Remember last summer, was it a white American bulldog that was up on a warehouse? And the people in the train would see, the tri-rail, they would see this poor dog up in the middle of the day, summer in South Florida, on top of a roof. And all he had was like this little tiny metal shed he'd go under to get away from the heat and the sun. People started complaining because they would see this dog every day as they were going to work. Well, one of the channel news media got involved, and sure enough, the owners of the tenants, I should say, were protecting their air conditioning unit up there because of thieves. They steal the metal from the air conditioning units. So you're going to use an animal to be your guard dog? That's wrong. Well, animal advocates went down. They picketed. They did what they needed to do. And I'm sure that everything was quiet and that dog came down off that roof. But mark my words, I bet within a month that dog was back up there. Laws need to be changed to help our animals because they cannot speak for themselves. And I believe that Palm Beach County made an aggressive law not too long ago. If you all remember about the guard dogs, that this guy was chased out of Palm Beach County because he was using these guard dogs, and they were sitting in tiny little, like a size of an outhouse, Jiffy John, with no ventilation. We had that on the news a few months back. Do you remember? Well, he comes down to Broward and Dade County. Broward changed their laws to support these dogs. We don't want these type of guard dogs living in these conditions. What did Dade County do? We need to take an active, aggressive role, and we need to group together to help these animals. Because I do believe that everybody, most everybody, is in it for the right reason. However, there are some not. I don't understand how a rescue can consider themselves a good rescue when all they're doing is taking a dog from one cement box and transporting it to another cement box to sit there. No plan in place. I love the fact that people will get on these Facebook threads, and I get a lot sent to me to review, and everybody's so excited that the dog's leaving MDAS. Pledges start occurring. I'll pledge 10, I'll pledge 20, I'll pledge 50. And then where is that dog going? Do people ask? I want to read something that I think is so vital. And I want to admit right here that this person and I have had our differences. And we can talk like two grown women and put our feelings aside and know that I do know that she is in it for the dogs. The time she takes to write these articles is, to me, phenomenal. I want to, at this time, read something that Wendy from Wendy's Rescue wrote. And I asked her permission. And I'm a big believer in giving credit where credit's due. And this woman deserves the credit. Give me about a minute and a half. I think I need to read this. And I want you all to think long and hard about this. It was just dated on Tuesday, May 14th, and it's called What is a Rescue's Responsibility to You? And she writes, I have noticed a really sad trend in the rescue community coming from rescues and rescuers. This trend is keeping things a secret. I have heard many rescues representatives and rescuers tell me it is none of my business what they do with their dogs, or mind your business, or just plain ignore my questions. Here is the deal. Rescues are public organizations due to the fact that they run on public funds. Funds donated by the public makes them a public charity. By being a public charity, these rescues must be as transparent as the air. No secrets, no hush-hush, no hidden nothing. All questions posed by others must be answered. You need to ask questions. First question, where is the dog going? Second, how are the funds collected for that dog being used? Number three, if the dog is going to boarding, where is the dog going to boarding and for how long? Number four, follow-up pictures. Vets' information that is treating the dog, that's crucial, people. That's crucial. My opinion, if they don't post a vet's name and number to call in, to donate, or an address to send a check, and you're just putting into somebody's account, I'd be a little leery. Unless you absolutely have stepped foot on that rescue and you know that person face-to-face and not just on Facebook, I'm sorry. I'm going to be skeptical on that one. Definitely vets' information is crucial. Number six, if the dog has been adopted, what is their procedure when adopting a dog? How do they transport, and et cetera? So as you can see here, you have the right to ask any and more of these questions. You should never be either afraid or intimidated by anyone when you contact a rescue or rescuer with these questions. They are a public organization, and they must answer these questions. Again, do not let them intimidate you. I've had many rescues and rescuers tell me to mind my own business. What they lack to understand is that as long as they are a public charity, they are my business, especially when dealing with a dog or cat's life. And without even considering the fact that they are or are not a public entity, when someone is requesting the public's help by asking for donations, this again gives you the right to question their intentions with the money that is being collected. You have the right to find out all the above questions. That is, if you care to know if the dog will be safe or dumped at your local boarding facility, awaiting for others to rescue them. You have the right to know Any rescue or rescuers that do not want to share this information is obviously hiding something, because any reputable rescue is more happy to share their success stories, their vet bills, and or anything needed to prove the dog is safe. And remember, you have the power to ensure the dog or cat you are trying to save is 100% safe. By you failing to ask these questions, you are failing to ensure the pet's safety. That was written by Wendy's Rescue. She's written other ones that are super. And again, it takes time. It's on her own time that she does this. It's on my own time that I'm doing this, and the team that's behind me. We're not getting paid. We're not being endorsed by any company. I would like to see in the future a sponsor picking us up, because I do see that happening. Because we need to be this sounding board for these dogs and cats. It's got to stop. If anybody, again, wants to call in, feel free to. Robin or Sherry, if you have anything to add, just keep me posted. Again, that number is 347-324-5517, and press number 1. Robin, can you come on? Here, let me see if I can bring you on right now. Robin, can you hear me?
Hi, I sure can, Darcy.
Okay. I don't know if I'm running the chat room correctly or if I'm seeing anything. Is anything going on in the chat room?
Yes, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in our chat room. Most are going by guest IDs. However, Christy McCormick has just recently joined us, and I welcomed her to the group.
Okay.
So she's here with us. And once again, we'd love to hear from you all. If anyone has anything they'd like to add, all you have to do is dial the number, press 1, and you'll be connected to me, and I'll just ask you some real general information, and then I will put you through to Darcy. So
okay.
It's really easy to do. That's all it takes. Just dial that number. The number is 347-324-5517, and you push 1, and you will be talking to me. And
I want to
look forward to it.
Before you go to mute, I want to talk to you and tell the audience a little funny story, basically how you and I met through Facebook. And we have not met face-to-face, but you have jumped on to help with this crusade. And, Robin, I thank you so much. The audience, I want to share with you something that I find quite comical. I have 2 daughters. I have 2 grown daughters. My Rachel is almost 23. She'll be 23 in September. She graduated early from NYU in New York City, and I'm actually going to be out of town next week for her graduation. She will be walking with her class, so I'm very excited about that. Unfortunately, next Wednesday, because I will be in New York City, I'm not going to be having a show. Once we get our feet wet and on the ground running, there will be other people that will back me up. So in case I can't make a show, we'll have other speakers coming on as hosts. Rachel is currently in London. She has literally traveled the world, and I'm so proud of her, and just came back from Malaysia. She's been in London for the past 5 months with her boyfriend, who also is in the same business as she will be. And she's embarking on her career in July, thank goodness, 1 off the payroll. My other daughter is 20, and this is what's so funny, people. Her name is Robin, and it's also spelled like my producer's name, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N. What's even more comical is this Robin, our producer, her dog's name is what, Robin?
Darcy. And Darcy is a rescue dog. I have never had an animal that wasn't a rescue. And I rescue both dogs and cats. And we're on the subject of that, have some guest speakers that I can bring in to talk about cats, because there are some wonderful groups that are doing some fantastic things across the United States. We have a railroad basically set up with adoptive families waiting, and we transport cats from Key West to Seattle, and that's a huge group. They're wonderful, and I'm going to invite one of their administrators to come when it's appropriate and speak to the group, because they need help with transport. But, yeah, it's real interesting the way that Darcy and I met, because we did have that in common, and also our common love for animals and our desire to do whatever is necessary to protect them in any way we can. And I'm actually getting ready to rescue another dog, because my landlord happened to mention to me the other day, when it was raining very hard in Central Florida, that we needed another dog. And I asked why, and he said, well, we're going to have to build an ark like Noah did, and we only have one dog. Well, the dog I have now is a female, so obviously I have to have a male. But my dog, of course, is neutered, or spayed, and the male would be neutered. But little does he know, even though I did tell him, that he is going to be getting a second dog in the very near future.
Oh, wonderful.
So wish me luck with that one. Maybe
good.
As soon as May the 25th. And
awesome.
My co-producer here, Sherry, knows exactly what I'm talking about, and I'm sure has a big smile on her face right now.
Oh.
So.
Sherry, do you want to come in and talk? Sherry, let's bring in Miss Sherry. Let's bring in Miss Sherry and let her say hello to everybody.
Yeah, I'll get her.
Okay.
Grab her.
Is she on? Maybe she's not on.
She's going to be in a minute.
Okay.
Miss Sherry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Oh, hello, Sherry. Thank you, ladies. I want to thank you both. And, you know, this is really just our first kickoff show as everybody is listening. And, you know, be patient with us. We're going to perfect this as we grasp what the hell we're doing here. But Sherry and Robin, I thank you both. And you're doing this on your own time like I am myself. And thank you. Sherry, what do you want to say? I know you've done some bit of rescuing yourself, and between you and your hubby and your daughter, you're doing marvelous things. And we need to put a plug in today, maybe about Toby and Lucy as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, we're doing a little bit of rescue, and our biggest project right now are Toby and Lucy, who are two mid-age dogs that unfortunately they're. Human parent passed away of cancer, and her children weren't able to keep them. Their oldest son in college, and he needed to find a good home for them. We did, as a community of people, save them from going to a bad rescue, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, we still need a foster home for them, or a would be better, an adopter for them that will take them together, because they are bonded, loving dogs who have been together for 8 years. Toby has some health issues, and we've been meeting them head on, one by one. He's seen at the vet all the time, and he's getting the best care. He has allergies. He has a thyroid problem, which is getting straightened out, and just a few other things, and we're working on that. We're doing fundraisers. You can find us online at Paw It Forward on Facebook and Paw It Forward for Toby and Lucy. And, you know, we really need help. We're having a Sensi fundraiser going on now on Facebook that ends today. And we will be having an auction shortly.
Okay. How did the fundraiser go with Sensi? I love that product, by the way.
I'm not sure where we're at yet, but we've had some orders. And it's
good.
And every bit helps. We're so blessed that it's all being... The proceeds are being donated to Toby and Lucy.
Excuse me, Sherry, Robin here. There is a woman who is who agreed to do the Cincy for us, and she I say us because I am also co-administrator with Sherry and her family for Pilot Forward, Inc. There are three Pilot Forwards on Facebook, if you look. We are Pilot Forward, Inc., and Pilot Forward, Toby and Lucy. Not to be confused with the other one. I believe they're in a different state anyway, but ours is South Florida. But this woman, who I don't have permission to mention her name, so I won't, has donated 100% of her commission toward the care of Toby and Lucy.
Wow.
Which is awesome. Awesome. I mean, she could be taking this money and putting it into her own pocket, and instead she has chosen to give it to us for Pod Forward. And Sherry, I think you have two other babies you need to talk about too.
I do. We have two other puppies that were just saved on Saturday morning. Very, very cute little mixes. There's some kind of doxy mix. They said doxy Maltese, but I don't see any Maltese in them, so I'm not really sure. Some kind of little terrier mix. They're very, very sweet and cute. One has a pending adopter.
They're adorable. They're beyond
and that's
sweet and
Jordan.
Cute. They are adorable.
And Sammy, the little female, she is just cute as a button. She's the bigger one of the two. She is still looking for a foster or adopter. They're both doing great, and they're a lot of fun.
Sherry,
where
can we see pictures of them? Do you want to post them on the – go ahead.
They're on the Pilot Forward, Inc. page on Facebook.
Okay, so when you say the Facebook name, it's PAW, P-A-W, it, forward, and then forward, comma, Inc.?
No comma, just PAW, it, forward, Inc.
Okay.
I-N-C, like
and that's on Facebook. And that's on Facebook.
Facebook, yes.
Okay, so everybody can go onto that page and take a look at Toby and Lucy and then the two puppies. How did you come across these puppies, if you don't mind sharing the story?
There's a lot of people on Facebook in the rescue community that are very concerned about, dogs and cats that are in the shelters or about to go in shelters because people are saying, I'm taking this dog to MDS. I can't take care of this dog anymore. Someone needs to take it. And it was cross-posted to me. I had seen them at the beginning of last week, and I had thought they had homes because someone had said they could take the little boy, and I had lost track of the thread. And then on Friday, it was urgent. The woman who had these dogs were taking them to MDAS because they were bothering her cats. And that's when I thought I had a foster for Sammy, and someone was taking Jordan, the little boy, and I said, you know what? We can take her if we can get help with vet care. And we had donors who graciously volunteered to donate and donated directly to the vet. I mean, we're not asking for money. it goes to them. And then they were vetted on Monday, and they're both doing really good. They got their shots, and they're being treated for hookworm. And other than that, they're doing perfect. They're eating well. They're very sweet. They're in great condition.
Well, and Sherry also has the information on her vet posted on her page with a telephone number and address. And I personally have called because I make donations on my own through that vet's office. And I just call up and give them my credit or debit card number, whatever it is, as I can afford it, and they are so gracious, and they thank you for your donation, and it all goes to help one of the Pilot Forward dogs that are in the name of Sherry and Joe Manfredi, but the money is going directly to the vet to help those dogs.
Which is what I feel comfortable doing, and
absolutely,
I don't understand how people that pledge, which is the same as donating money, or they'll get on a thread and they'll say, I'm pledging $10, I'm pledging $20. I find that I was having a discussion with a wonderful woman over on the west coast of Florida. I just transported three dogs for her across the alley on on Monday. I canceled lunch appointments to go the 190-mile round trip to do this for her because I thought that was more important. Somebody drove the three doggies up to me off of 595 in Flamingo, and then from there I jumped on the alley, went clear across the alley, and came back. And it's not a bad ride. I personally, myself, I don't charge. I want to do it for the sake of the dogs. Some people do charge gas money. I understand if you're, you know, unable to, you know, afford it, but you want to do something good. I understand that. For me, I do it because I enjoy it, and plus I love driving. She had told me, she confided in me and said, Darcy, I have 8 people that pledged certain amounts of money and never saw that money. She had a total of $180 that was supposedly going to be pledged to these dogs, or one dog in general out of the three, call it that, and they never follow through. I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. Because if you say you're going to do something, I expect you to do it. That's just me. If I call up Kathy Kramer, and here's an A-plus person who is probably not listening because I didn't even tell her I was going to plug her. MyAnimalsRock.org is Kathy Kramer, a woman that sits behind a computer 18 hours a day. Numerous phone calls are coming in for her assistance to help a dog that has been dumped on the street, roaming the streets, hit by a car. She is phenomenal. I have met this woman. I have begged to meet her because she does not like to leave her home because she's so busy. This woman does rescue 100% across the board accurate. Accurate. If she sends a dog out of state, home checks are mandatory. She wants to know where this dog is going. She aligns herself with other reputable rescues. She will take and send out emails, and I send out emails of hers to my 400-plus contacts, and that's still building. Networking is a key. She gets on that computer right away with pictures of that dog, and boy, does she pull at your heartstrings because she has a way of writing, which is instrumental in getting people's attention. I will tell you that most of the 400-plus contacts that I have, I hardly know maybe 20% of them, maybe 100. Maybe, well, like 20%, I'm going to say. Some of those are family and friends. And what do? They don't take the time to read the email. And I beg them, please, please, just forward this on to 5 of your contacts. And a neighbor said, Darcy, I can't stand to open up the pictures. They're so sad. Getting back to the Sarah McLaughlin from Humane Society, people turn away. They don't want to see it. We have to, just like there's child abuse in this country. There's animal abuse, animal neglect, and it's all because of the irresponsible pet owners. I think about those 3 girls that were just rescued, the 3 ladies up in Cleveland, Ohio, that were chained and living in this home for 10 years, mostly down in the basement. You know, that man also had 2 dogs, and I think if he could do this to a human being, 3 women, what is he doing to his animals? And we've got to step up and speak on behalf of these animals. I want to, again, applaud Kathy Kramer. I want people to be able to come on to this radio show and say, if Darcy and her team endorse this rescue, I feel comfortable in donating money. And that's what I am trying to do to make a difference. I want to be able to speak on the radio and say, people, if you want to donate, whether it's $10, $100, $1,000, you have my 100% guarantee that every penny is going for that dog's well-being. I have helped donate. I have donated. I have transported. I have fostered. I have kept. 2 of my fosters are failures, thank goodness. I network. I have my own business cards made up because I feel we can make a difference. But we have to weed out the bad and let the good prevail. Again, with weeks following, we're going to build up our target audience, and we're going to spread the word by way of marketing and getting this radio show out there. And who knows, maybe we'll even be able to go on to AM radio show. I mean, these are my visions that I see in the future. I think we need to have something like a Nancy Grace from HLN coupled with a Jane Velez Mitchell. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's HLN. I just love those two women. They're voices for the victims. We want to be a voice for the victims, and those are our animals.
Excuse me, Darcy?
Yes.
I have somebody in the queue that would like to speak to you. If you want to refer to our other page, I just wrote you a message.
Okay, let me go back. Okay, okay. Definitely, I'd love to. I'd love
all
to.
All right.
Okay. Does she want
to say
her name?
I'm going to put her on, and I'll let her introduce herself to you.
Okay,
okay.
Terrific.
All right,
thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Hi, you're live now.
Hi, this is Sharon Harper. I'm calling from the southwest coast of Florida.
Hi, Sharon. This is Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy, we're actually Facebook friends.
Hi, Sharon. Hi, Facebook friend.
I actually...
That's the same thing I said. It's like, I'm sure we know each other.
Yeah, I actually called in because I wanted to touch on something, and then you started the conversation about it, which was all of these individuals that pledge dollars and don't come through, and what a burden it puts on the individual that when that happens. And I guess it's just no accounting for whether people have responsibility or not for what they've done, or if they just get distracted by something else. But I personally have a blind and deaf 14-year-old foster. I transport. I do financial help. I do administrative work. I do just about anything that I can while I'm still working a full-time job, and I always feel like it's never quite enough, and I'm sure that's how every person who's involved in rescue feels.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Sharon. It's just it could be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job on our own dime, on our own dime.
Yes, it definitely can, and when you were talking about transporting, I've gone as far as 8 to 9 hours drive before because I just felt like it was worth it. And one of the things that I'm always concerned about when I do transport is where that dog is going. And the only reason why I now am skeptical of that is because, like other people, I think I may have inadvertently contributed to a dog going to a place where it probably should not go. So now I've gotten to the point where if I don't know, I have to not do it.
Sharon, I totally agree with you, and we have so many stories of that occurring. I'm going to post again and bring it to the top of the page, which I will let everybody know the actual name of our Facebook page. I will get into that in a minute. But there's a story, and we've got the thread. We've got the screenshots, Sharon, of what occurred with this dog named Barbados. It's a damn shame. And I point the finger at those that think that they're such heroes by pulling the dog out of MDAS. But, again, that's the easy part. It's now getting that dog to a safe haven. This dog did not go to a safe haven. This dog, and it's all there, I'm not making this up, this dog was supposed to go to some great rescue in West Virginia that trains dogs for the presidents. Well, I congratulate Mary Lundberg. Mary Lundberg is a fabulous individual who calls a spade and will question and question and question. And guess what? They don't like to be questioned. They, meaning those that are really not so good. Because if you are a reputable rescue, you need to put everything out there, just like what Wendy's Rescue wrote about. Mary Lundberg, Project 52, is an amazing individual. I had the pleasure of meeting her this Monday because she transported the dogs and met me at the end of the alley. I want to meet face-to-face who I'm dealing with in rescue. It's important because so many of us are Facebook friends, like Sharon, you and I are. Robin, I don't know you, Robin, face-to-face, and I'll be honest with people, I haven't met Robin yet, but I feel that in my heart of hearts, she is in it for the dogs, and I love that. I have seen this thread. I have read this story. I know where Barbados is now. It makes me sick to my stomach that a dog has been through hell and back. Hell and back because of irresponsible rescues. You need to do your homework. Don't believe everything people tell you. Again, think about the State Farm commercial. The guy standing at the curb with his car. The blonde walks up, says, "What are you doing?" Does everybody remember what I'm talking about? I bring this up on the dog rescue page all the time. It's a perfect video. He says, "Where'd you read that? Where'd you see that?" "Well, I read it on the Internet." And he says, "You believe everything on the Internet?" "Well, of course it's on the Internet."
Ha! I saw that. I saw that.
It's great. And then her boyfriend comes up, and he's a French model.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "Oh, here comes my boyfriend, the French model." The guy looks up and like, "Oh, okay." And the guy walks up and goes, "Bonjour." And he looks like a geek. I mean, come on. "Oh, well, I found him on the Internet. He's a French model." Yeah. And I'm, Jennifer Aniston. Come on, people. Do your own homework. But, Sharon, I do have a problem with that, getting back to these pledges that people say. You're right. They may get sidetracked. They may get onto another thread. But what's the main purpose here is just because a dog leaves MDAS, or Broward Animal Control, how do you know that dog is really going to a safe place? That's the question. And like you said, now you have pulled back. If they're not willing to disclose and show pictures, because that's where the work is involved, is networking, marketing, taking pictures. That's crucial. And we need to also, what's important here in South Florida, as well as on your coast, Sharon, we need to make the public aware and educate the community. I do believe that they are foreign to what we as people in rescue are seeing day after day. They don't read about the poor poodle that got his back legs chopped off because he was climbing over the fence to escape from his owner.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in Miami. That guy should be in jail. He's probably walking free. Who does
that? There's so much, and I don't want to take up time that somebody else might be able to take up, but I do just want to say for those who actually have founded rescues and who get those emails and have to read them and make the decisions that they have to make, I commend them, and I pray that God gives them strength to do it every single day because it is hard, hard work to say no.
It is.
When you know it's the right thing to do.
You're right, and you have to have tough skin because not everybody's going to agree with you. They're not. But thank you for calling in, Sharon. Thank you so much.
And thank you for all that everybody does. And if I'm not Facebook friends with you, I am Sharon Harper in Estero, Florida, and I am welcoming anybody to Facebook friend me that's, you know, true, pure, clean rescue.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, ladies, do we have anybody else before I go on to our next subject?
Darcy, no, we don't have anyone else holding in the queue.
Okay, very good. Well, you go back and have fun in the chat room because I can't pick it up from my computer for whatever reason, but I'll fix that at a later time. Basically, what we're talking about and what we're discussing is South Florida dog rescues, good or bad, you decide. And again, Sharon, thank you for coming on. But basically, let's talk about this. Rescues, they have no regulations or overseeing, call it that, of how they operate. They can do whatever they want, per se. Can they not? Truly, it's like the wild, wild west. I want to be, along with my team, a clearinghouse for what is legitimate and what is not. I think we can make that happen. I feel like I have become an animal advocate, and in just a period of less than 3 years, there's goals that I want to set forth, such as establishing regulatory guidelines. This needs to be implemented. Tap into the animal advocacy programs. Align ourselves with the good, those looking out for the animal's well-being. and to get rid of those that are maybe pocketing those pledges and donations and not helping a dog. I will post later today on the dog rescue page. And while I'm at it, if you have a piece of paper and pen, for those of you that are not familiar with the page that I'm one of the administrators on, and again, this was not originally my page, so let's make that clear. I'm not the original owner of this page. We did change the name. Again, remember at the beginning of the show I said it was titled Death Row Dog Rescue, the Scam? Well, we changed it, and this is what I want to share with you. If you have a piece of paper and pen, and at the end of the show, I would love for you all to go onto our page and like it, and that would mean the world to me and to my team. I work with two other administrators on that page. So here it is. I'm going to go ahead and say it slowly so everybody can jot it down. It's called Dog Rescues, that's plural, Dog Rescues, dash the good, dash the bad, dash and the ugly of South Florida. I'm going to repeat that. Dog Rescues, dash the good, dash the bad, dash and the ugly of South Florida. And I appreciate it at the end of this show that you like our page. On that page later today, after the show is over, I will post the Project 52, the whole story about Barbados, and also the new segment that just aired 2 days ago, so you can see it for yourself. So I asked for you to like us. If you will, that would be great. We talked about helping to educate the public. Do your own homework. That's important. And always ask to donate to the vet instead of a PayPal account. Provide, if possible, well, this is an easy thing to do, and I encourage this as well, gift cards to a pet store. They need dog food. They need cat food for these animals. Then go pick up a pet supermarket gift card for $20, $50, $100 and mail it to them. That's crucial. You can also buy your flea and tick medication there if you want to supply that. I also work closely with PetMeds, and they're great. And hopefully as this radio show gets off the ground, maybe they'll be one of our partners and help us. So I can go to them and say, we've got a rescue that is in need of these items. Can you help us? Because anything that gets returned, they cannot sell back to the public. But you need to prove yourself. You need to make sure you have to be a 501c3. They're just not going to open the door to any Tom, Dick, or Harry. They're located right here in Pompano. They're a phenomenal company. But we need to align ourselves with those that care first and foremost of the animal's well-being. Robin, if you can hear me, has area code 803 come on yet? 803? Robin, if you can hear me.
No, not yet. I'm standing by waiting for that call.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much.
So
here's the thing. Let's talk about, we talked about the gift cards. That's a great gift to give, and you're protected. What about the fact that we don't have enough good homes here in South Florida? And again, that's because of lack of education from the public standpoint. I believe that. But when a dog does leave South Florida, what steps are taken to make sure that dog is going into a safe environment? What does a rescue do? I would like for somebody to call in and tell me. I myself, I'm not a rescue. I do all these different things of rescue, but I myself am not a rescue. And I do align myself with those that I find to be reputable. Again, if you want to make any donations, myanimalsrock.org, again, is A+. She works closely with Myrta down in Homestead. Myrta Maltus. I've been down there. I've seen her. I've been to her home. She's been to my home. This woman is in the trenches day in and day out. Why and how do I know that? Murta is a forest ranger. She's down at the Everglades National Park. 1 million acres. You know what people do down there, which is in Homestead? They dump their dog, thinking the dog can manage on its own, in the forest, in the Everglades National Park. Yes, darling?
Excuse me if I can interrupt you. I have the call you were expecting.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Okay, great. Bring her on. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hi, you're on the air with Darcy. Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in. You're right on time. I just want to give the listeners a little heads up. This person that is calling in is a 501c3. She wishes to keep her name out of it, but I do want to talk to her and ask her questions on how she goes about rescuing or pulling a dog and what she sets forth as well as a plan or strategy for that particular dog. And she is out of state, so go ahead and take it away if you don't mind, and I'll ask you questions as we go.
Okay, where do you want me to start? I mean...
Well, I'd like to, first of all, how long have you been a 501c3?
Not quite 2 years, but I was operating as a rescue prior to that. I don't think, I mean, that's my personal opinion, I don't think you necessarily have to be a 501c3 to be a good rescue.
I agree.
It's just there is some perks, such as being able to apply for grants and that sort of thing. Of course, anybody that really, truly does rescue, they understand how tight cash is, and it costs money. It
sure
costs money to become a 501c3.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, did I save dogs or did I concentrate on the 501c3? So that's why it took me so long. And but anyways, we are 501c3. We do not operate in any designated area. There's a dog in need. If we can help it, we certainly will. And we always have a plan. Always. There's always a plan. None of our dogs are boarded. Maybe short-term waiting on a transport or a foster. But never more than, say, a few days.
When you say you have a plan in place, and if that dog, and I know you have pulled or saved dogs out of MDAS, what type of plan do you have from the time that dog leaves the property of MDAS?
Usually it comes to me.
When you say it comes to you, and you're not in South Florida, okay? So you've already set up a transport. You've already set up a transport then.
The moment we make a commitment to a dog, that's when we start working on the transport to get the dog out of South Florida.
Do you find, because you said that you're not just focused on the state where you are, do you find that Miami is like in a world of its own with what we're dealing with down here?
Absolutely. That's why my mindset is to get the dogs out of South Florida. I think you're going to find a better home out of South. Not saying that all people in South Florida are bad. I'm not saying that. I'm really not saying that. I think you're going to be more successful getting those dogs out of South Florida to find a good placement for them, good forever home.
I agree.
And I've been doing that for several years.
So now when the dog comes to you, is that dog immediately put in quarantine, mixed with your other dogs? How does it work?
No, they're quarantined. Anything coming out of a shelter is quarantined. and that's just to protect the health of the animals that's already on my property. I mean, if anybody's ever dealt with kennel cough and it goes through a whole pack of dogs, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Can't put anybody's health at risk. And then, you know, once they're quarantined and the assessment starts, such as trying, you know, testing them with other dogs and that sort of thing.
That takes work.
Yeah, it does.
But I find that a lot of the rescues, they're not rolling in dough. They don't have the money. So that's why it's so crucial when people say they're going to pledge to live up to those pledges. But then again, I donate to a woman by the name of Danielle up in the Panhandle, Seaside, her rescue. I don't know this woman, but what grabbed at my heartstrings was a dog that gave birth under a truck, and she had three of her puppies. I think some had died. And I saw this picture of this gray pity, and her eyes were bloodshot red. And you could tell she wasn't sleeping. She was stressed. She was caring for these three puppies. That haunted me. That picture haunted me. But you know what? This woman showed before pictures, after pictures, kept pictures up with the Freedom adoption pictures, and always, always posted her vet's information. And that's where I felt comfortable. Even though I never met her, I donated to the vet. So with
okay.
you...
I mean, and you, that's good. I mean, yeah. there are a lot of legitimate rescues, and I think most rescues are legitimate. I think there's a few bad apples that makes the rest of us look bad, and
true.
That's unfortunate. We've been criticized. I mean, you got to remember, if you work on a full-time job, you got a home to keep up and dogs to manage and take care of. No, we don't always get things posted as quick as some people would like to see.
Sure.
We're doing the best we can. That's all I can say. I mean, yeah, we was publicly criticized by some half-wit. Well,
you can't please everybody. You can't please everybody.
Yeah, like the dog, you know, they never saw any more postings of the dog and even publicly said, oh, I fear that the dog was sold as a bait dog.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me? You freaking kidding me?
Well, there's all kinds out there. There's all kinds out
there. No, but
that's
people that's actually not doing rescue, that's sitting behind a keyboard and have way more time than I do.
Yeah. Do you want to share what you shared with me yesterday about the dogs that you are soon getting? Or do you have not enough time? Because I know you're on a tight schedule.
Oh, the extreme case?
Yes. The ones, I'd like to know where these dogs were found and how they were found and what condition.
In Miami. Yeah, in Miami.
In the condition.
Well, I'll make some brownie points with you. I'm bringing an older palm up with that crowd, too.
For my
that
listeners,
that was Pastor Strayhold. Strayhold.
She knows I'm a big Pomeranian fan. My Pomeranian named Knickers is my love of my life. He's a Pompoo, so she knows. This guest speaker knows that I'm very into Pomeranians. And for those of you that have heard me speak before, I will tell you, I am intimidated by bigger dogs. I am. My black lab foster failure is 45 to 50 pounds, and that's big in my eyes. But I'm getting better because my neighbor has big dog.
You know, but that's why people and, I clean up from all breed rescues. I mean, people should stay with what they know. We are a breed-specific rescue. There's been too many times I've cleaned up from all breed rescues because they think they want to take in one of my dogs and flip it and make some money, and it usually turns out to be a disaster because they have no clue about the breed. It's not that it's a bad breed, but you need to know it.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
You know, like, I wouldn't think of pulling a mastiff because I have no experience with them. So I would do more harm than good.
Right. Well, you're being logical.
Breeds that should be handled by experienced people. That's just my two cents. So
you're
I'm
absolutely
sure,
right.
You know, some people are going to go, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what I feel comfortable with, and that's what I do.
Can you share a little bit, 2 minutes, of the dogs and how they were found and what condition they were in? Because this is important. This is how people in Miami, and this is how they were found in Miami, and these idiots that walk among us and not care about an animal suffering like this, these two dogs, or three, right?
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's happening all over the country. I think Miami gets a lot of publicity, bad publicity, you know, because it's, you know, it's so populated down there, of course, MDAS. I mean, they take in a high volume of animals, a high volume, you know.
Yes.
Granted, it has its problems, but, you know, the shelter is not the problem in Miami. It's the citizens of Miami.
That's right.
You know, don't put my address out there. Somebody will probably come burn down my house or something. Just saying that.
No. But you're right. It's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, but really, that's what the issue is. And it's us as rescues. We can't eliminate the problem. We can only help with it.
True.
I mean, it's
true.
Never going to end until they mandatory spay and neuter, I guess, you know.
I think that's really what it amounts to. You're absolutely right. You have people letting their dogs roam loose. And as you know, and you're more experienced than I am, a male dog can smell a female in heat for miles away. Miles away. My Lucy was a re-rescue. She's a black lab mix. She was wandering the streets of Miami Gardens pregnant. Wandering the streets pregnant. She gives birth to 7 puppies, of one I believe died. When I got her, I got 6 5-week-old puppies. One looked like a St. Bernard. One looked like a little Rottie. And the rest looked like her. And one of the vets, when we started doing the adoption process and checking references, lovely family from Weston wanted this one dog, one puppy. They, with their license, they gave me their license. They took the dog puppy to get checked by the vet. And this vet told her that more than one dog can impregnate that female in heat. So that's maybe why 3 of them look like her. Another looked like a St. Bernard. Another looked like, I didn't know that. Because every day you're learning something new. And it was very educational and an eye-opener. It's because of these idiots that let these dogs just roam free, unaltered. Shame on them. Penalties need to be imposed, and strict ones. Mandatory spay and neuter. Exactly.
Well, right. And, I mean, that's with every state. It's not just South Florida, the state of Florida. But, you know, when you start mandating things, that's when people get very defensive. Why not give people an incentive if their animals are spayed and neutered, such as little cheaper property taxes? You save a little bit on your property taxes. You have to give people incentives.
You're right. You're right.
And they're more apt to do it if you give them incentives.
You're absolutely right. And I know that they're talking about this pet trust. And they wanted to add, like, I think $1 on everybody's taxes. What is $1? Big deal. So I need to wrap my arms around that because I'm not that knowledgeable. And hopefully in the next show we'll have somebody that knows so much more about that, because I think we need to educate the public and let them know what's happening in our own backyard for sure. But with that, I've got other people waiting. So do you have anything else you need to go over?
I can't think of anything. Do you have anything you want to ask me while I'm on the phone?
No, not at this time. You know what you could mention? Can you talk about what's occurring in October up in Jacksonville? Can you give the viewers and the audience
please? Oh, yes. That's the Friends Conference. I encourage anybody that is involved in rescue or wants to get involved in rescue to attend. It's going to be a very educational experience. You're going to be able to network with a lot of great people and become educated on, I mean, they're going to have different seminars on various different subjects. And I think it's awesome. I think this is the first time that they've had it on the East Coast. They normally have it in Vegas, so you know that's gonna be a lot easier for folks to get to.
Perfect.
And I can send you the link, and you can post it on your page. But I encourage everybody to attend.
I think that sounds fabulous. That's terrific. And thank you so much. And I appreciate you calling in. And you're doing beautiful things up there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Robin, I think we have Joan that wants to call back.
Yes, I'm waiting for her to call in.
Okay.
Now.
Terrific.
So
go ahead.
She knows that we're waiting for her to call back in.
Okay, terrific. And I've got somebody else. Just repeat, my screen has minimized. The phone number for people to call in is 347-324-5517.
That is correct. And then they press 1.
Okay.
And then they will talk to me, and then I will put them through to you.
Okay. I've got somebody, her first name is Wendy. She's going to want to call in. Let me just send her a quick message on what her area code is, okay? So let me go ahead and talk to her. I've got two computers going plus my iPhone and my iPad. So
I have somebody on the line here, if you don't mind holding on just one second.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you. You didn't mute yourself. Go into the screen room.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me,
that's
Darcy.
Well, I'm in the screen room.
Okay, but you have to mute yourself from the radio show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Show.
Yep,
that's
you're
okay.
Right.
Don't worry about it. That's okay. So everybody, while she's screening the next possible caller, we are still learning and getting our feet wet, so bear with us, but this has so far been, a great experience. And I welcome more people to call in. Pro or con? I want to hear about, you know, your experiences. I've got somebody, Robin, if you can hear me, area code 860, super duper. Okay, 860. So let me just write back to her to tell her that I see that her area code is 860. And hopefully she'll call in momentarily. It's about 1:25 right now. We are scheduled to go till 2 o'clock. Again, if you do not have the time to listen to the whole broadcast, need not worry. You can bookmark and link this page and listen in at your leisure. So please do that because it's important to keep it away for your files. And you can fast forward to different sections, whatever you want to do. It's there for your safekeeping, okay? We won't be doing another radio show, just a little bit of housekeeping tips, for another 2 weeks from now. And let me see what the calendar brings me here. Are we going to be already into, 29th. May 29th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time will be our next show. If anybody wants to mention a subject they'd like to discuss, please feel free to post that on our dog rescue page. I gave that address earlier. It's on Facebook. And feel free to list whatever you feel you'd like to talk about. And again, we are at the infancy stage of this project. But I feel positive good things are going to happen, people. I really do. And we've got to stick together on the behalf of the dogs. Let's see here. All righty. So let's wait for Robin to come back on and see. I've got somebody else wanting to talk to me. So, Robin, are you there? Okay. Let's see here. All right. I hope we didn't lose Robin. I believe that she's got the area code 860. All right. So what else, if anybody else feels free that they want to call in, let's see what else, other notes. I took some notes here. I talked about doing your own homework. We talked about, before the lovely woman called in from the 501c3 rescue, about dogs leaving South Florida and making sure that they're safe. Home checks are crucial. Who does the home check, and do you trust that person? Here's a great story, and again, it's just by way of talking. Okay, let's see. Hold on. Let me just address this. Okay. Hold on, gang. Let me go ahead and see what's going on here, because my producer, Robin, are you there? Robin, we've got a caller.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to get through to them. That's where we're having some difficulty.
Okay, because she's. Yes. Let me just tell you what she's saying, because she sent me a message, and let me just go ahead and tell you. She's pressing line one, but it went to a dead phone line. So you need to bring her.
Oh, that's wacky. I'm going
to
bring her on. Yeah,
okay.
I'm just going to bring her on.
Yeah, go ahead. Please do. Thank you.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey.
Hi. Sorry about that. How are you?
Yeah, sorry. Your call kept dropping off. You couldn't hear me, and I couldn't hear you.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, Robin. And Wendy,
my
thank
pleasure.
You for your
sorry.
Patience. Thank you for your patience, Wendy.
Hello?
Hi, Wendy. Can you hear me? It's Darcy.
Well, no, this is Joan.
Oh,
this
Joan. Okay, me. Joan.
Did
I've
you
got,
get the
I've
wrong
got,
call?
Oh, no. You know, I've got somebody else coming in, too, from Robin. If you can hear me, Robin, tap in Wendy and put her on hold in the screen room. I'm sorry, Joan. How are you?
Oh, that's okay. If you need to switch calls, that's fine. I can hold.
No, that's okay.
No, Joan, the floor is yours. I'm waiting for Wendy to call us back. She may not have time to today, Darcy.
Okay.
She mentioned that to me.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, Joan, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I was listening to your program regarding, you know, checking out people having questionable issues with working with various rescues, and I was trying to look to see what the requirements were for Florida, because one thing that we can do here in the state of Georgia is all rescues and shelters and breeders, anybody that works in the companion animal industry has to be licensed through our state ag department, and they have to receive routine inspections, which are minimal once a year inspections. And, you know, anybody can pull records on an organization to see those inspection reports, to see if they have a history of violations with state regulations regarding, you know, the upkeep of their facility or their organization, and also to even see if there's any kind of stop movement on them or if their license has been revoked and if they're operating without a license. But I wasn't able to, in fact, I posted something from the Florida Department of Ag website regarding the laws, but I'm not able to find anything, and it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but does the state of Florida not require shelters and humane organizations and rescues that handle cats and dogs and equine to be inspected and regulated?
I believe, Joan, in regards to rescues, there is no such thing down here in Florida. There is no such thing. And you mentioned something.
Actually, Darcy, if I could interject.
Yes, go ahead.
There is, but you are correct in saying there isn't. That you can go to sunbiz.org, which, you know, because Florida has the open records, and there are other ways, and you can find out who does what. But, yeah, if you are calling yourself a nonprofit, you do have to register, I believe, with it, and it is through the Department of Agriculture.
Robin, that's perfectly correct. But what she's also saying, Robin, you have to be registered with the Department of Agriculture to solicit donations. So with that being said,
well,
everybody...
The Department of Ag here in our state, they don't handle the donation issue as an IRS issue. But as far as the facility or the organization where the animals are housed and whether they're humanely kept.
We do not have that in Florida.
Yeah, no, we don't have that.
No. Robin, look, do me a favor. Check the call in for 860 because she's waiting. If you can put her in the screen room. Joan, let me just, first of all, backtrack here. And if you would be so kind to tell the listeners your affiliation and what you do in Georgia.
I'm with Georgia Humane Society, and we do a lot of the stuff out in the rural areas, like help with cruelty casework. We do some rescue, but our main focus is not so much the rescue end anymore, as much as it is with regulation and legislation issues, and also with helping with the cruelty casework out in the areas where they're not equipped to handle. You know, they don't have the resources to do so, and these cases would sometimes get ignored. And then also helping in the rural communities, we set up chapters where they have maybe not an already established, organized nonprofit to help their local shelter, and they can do so, you know, through us and help in their communities, even if it's a small community, because we want to. We've still got a lot of problems here in Georgia that we're trying to work out all the kinks. And, you know, the rural areas are the areas that tend to get ignored the most. And we have 159 counties in Georgia, and about 60 to 90 of those don't even have any formal means of animal control. But we have laws that are criminal, you know, felony and misdemeanor offenses. So, you know, it can become a problem, and that's where we help in some of those areas. But and then trying to, you know, grow the nonprofit, the volunteer community in those small areas with their local shelters and helping promote those animals. And the Internet is a big help, too.
Excuse me, Darcy. I have 860.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm unable to communicate, but I want to go ahead and put them on with you all, if that's okay.
That's fine, because I don't want to lose her again, because she's been so
patient.
No,
I don't either. She's called several times.
Yeah, she'll come on.
Here we go.
She's
coming live right now.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi there. Sorry, you're live with us now.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Wendy. Just hold that thought for 1 minute while I'm talking to Joan, and please feel free to pipe in. We don't want to lose you again, so thanks for your patience. Joan, you're telling me that the state of Georgia, they actually do inspections for these people that are registered with the Department of Ag in Georgia.
Yes. In fact, even if you, like, for instance, with Georgia Humane, they'll come even to our office, and give us an inspection, even if we don't have any animals here. In our foster homes, we have to have on record and do inspections with and have those records filed with the state as well. That's what we offer. All the documents and forms on our website, because they change periodically, and but we are inspected, and you know, the regulation, it mirrors the law a lot. You know, animals have to be housed a certain way, you know, drainage, the food has to be kept a certain way. They have to provide humane care, because if there's a situation of neglect, they are cited for that, and they could lose their license if they're habitual offenders for, you know, especially for some of the more serious issues. But, I mean, you even have to have a fire extinguisher or you'll be written up for that.
Are these surprise visits? Do they just pop in like, you know, the Food and Drug Administration comes in?
Yes, they come unannounced. And so, you know, and it's usually, for the most part, they'll come once a year, sometimes more often. But we're also the only state in the U.S. that reports. We have a list of reportable diseases that we are required to report to the Ag Department, one of which is parvovirus. So if your organization or shelter has a dog that breaks with parvo, you have to report it to the state. The inspector comes in, goes through the area. If it's an isolated area, that area is quarantined for 14 days. If you don't have isolated areas, then your whole facility may be quarantined for the two-week period. And then if there's no more incidents of parvo that break out during that 14-day period, then the state comes in and lifts that quarantine and you can operate again. But until then, you no animals in, no animals out. And it's just to help eradicate disease, because parvovirus obviously is one that's deadly. And it's also, with cats, it's panleukopenia is the same virus that affects cats. In fact, that's where parvovirus originally came from. But certain things scabies sarcoptic mange, those are all reportable diseases. And if you fail to report those diseases, you can lose your license. We've had people lose court cases because, you know, over an instance where they just failed to, sold a dog, it was a breeder, sold a dog to the public, and she didn't report the sarcoptic mange, but it was on record that she had several cases in her kennel prior to the selling of this one dog. So she lost her case because, you know, it's just a way of keeping people accountable. And when you're dealing with animals that potentially can infect other animals with disease, and including public animals, you know, you have to have some sort of agency to oversee that because you just can't trust people to do the right thing all
Got
the time.
It.
But, you know, so it's just kind of checks and balances in a way to make sure. And that's one thing we can do with Georgia Rescues is you can pull their ag file and, you know, it's open record and can see if they have a history of infractions or if they, you know, are an agency that is, you know, that gets a good inspection every time. And then any organization that pulls animals from a Georgia shelter, they are also required to be licensed with the state of Georgia to be allowed to take animals from Georgia shelters into their state. So if your rescue in Florida was wanting to pull dogs or cats from one of our shelters here in Georgia, regardless of whether you pay a fee or not, the state of Georgia requires that you also hold a Georgia license, and they can inspect your transport vehicle because our transport vehicles are inspected as well with the state ag department.
Joan, let me stop you right there because, you know, you are our neighboring state, and by golly, the state of Florida should follow Georgia. And no wonder I want to get the hell out of South Florida and move to Georgia. I mean, you have a beautiful state there. But I've got to stop you right there because, in addition, don't hang up. Wendy, are you still okay for time?
I'm here, yep.
Are you sure? Because I want to bring in my other producer, Sherry, who wants to touch base also on this subject about the Department of Agriculture in Florida. Huge difference. And this is where we need to learn from the state of Georgia. Joan, can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Sherry, come on in and share your knowledge.
Sherry's
there,
live.
My dear.
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I just wanted to say, because it was a little unclear what Robin was explaining, businesses have to register in the state of Florida with SunBiz. So anyone doing any kind of business has to register. It's, you know, you fill out a form, you send in some money, and you can operate. That is what SunBiz.org does. That's the Florida Department of State. Also, you have to get an EIN number from the IRS. If you're a 501, you have your 501c3 number. To solicit funds in the state of Florida, we have to register with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. That is just a small fee and some paperwork, and then they give you permission to solicit funds in the state. It has nothing to do with them checking on you as a rescue. Anyone can call themselves a rescue in this state, and it's good to go. There's no inspections. There's no checks and balances. There's no reporting of the diseases, like Joan said. There's nothing to protect the animals, and that is something that I think all states should have because,
you're right.
You know, our daycares have those checks. These are animals. These are living creatures, and they need protection. That's
and
all
Sherry,
I have to say.
And that's also a way to determine whether or not it's an agency that's on the up and up or if it's one with a history of infractions and questionable practices.
Exactly.
And when nobody, because there are – you open the door for a lot of neglect and abuse issues when you just allow anybody to operate a facility or a business or an organization that handles companion pets. If there's no, we have to have a paper trail. If there's a dog or cat that we pull from an animal control shelter, it has to have a transfer document from that shelter to our organization, and then we have to keep documentation because it's mandatory that we have it spayed or neutered. And within 30 days, and we do so during the two-week quarantine, everything two-week mandatory anyway, just to eliminate any possible outbreak of anything because it's usually caught within that 2 weeks. And then the Department of Ag will come in during your inspection and will check your records because if there's an animal in question, then you better be able to produce the documentation on that animal and be able to tell where it came from, where it has gone to. And they also use that as a means of determining where an original virus came from. In other words, if I took dogs from, say, North Georgia Animal Control, and 3 days later they broke the parvovirus, then they contact that shelter as well and do an inspection, because technically that's more likely where the virus originated from.
Right.
So that they can trace it.
Joan, so here's mm-hmm. where I need to finish up, because we only have 20 minutes left and Wendy's been waiting so patiently. I really feel that we don't have it. Like I said earlier in the show, this is like the wild, wild west. There's no
mm-hmm.
regulations, no policies put in place. But it also takes money and manpower. When I was at the Broward County Commission meeting a month and a half ago, end of February, around the 25th, they said that they don't have enough animal control officers. They need to bring more on board. This is a problem we have in Dade County. We don't have enough manpower. I believe mm-hmm. that because they consider animals to be on the bottom of the totem pole. But this has got to change, and I really think we have to take it to a state level, not a local level, because this has been going
right.
on for years. We have horse slaughtering, for God's sake, in Southwest Dade. It's like
well,
a damn
it's the our Department
different
of
country
Ag.
Down here.
Our Department of Ag is not pro-horse slaughter, and they even put out information on how to avoid selling to kill buyers and things of that nature. And we have a separate equine division because equine and dogs and cats are all protected animals in the state of Georgia. But the state ag department, the animal protection division, is, I believe, the only division in the ag family that is not funded. So, you know, they're not paid a lot of money.
Right, right.
And they have, you know, they do have a lot of territory to cover. But, you know, and they depend on sometimes the public to turn people
right.
in.
Well, Joan, let me do this because I feel guilty that I'm keeping Wendy on. If you could stay on the
uh-huh.
line, please, Joan. I need to bring in Wendy because she's been waiting so patiently. I'm so
that's
sorry,
fine.
Wendy. I'm
oh,
so
no,
sorry.
That's fine.
Thank you for waiting. So go ahead and what would you like to talk about?
No, that's fine, because I think the things you're talking about is much higher on the importance meter overall.
Oh, you're so right.
I was just going to go back to the pledgers and how to kind of explain the frustration on both sides, I think, of the Facebook
okay.
pledgers.
Okay.
From what I've seen and what I'm actually a pledger as well.
Okay.
Rescuer, transport, et cetera, the whole deal.
Okay.
So
jack of all trades.
Yeah. And I just wanted to go back to the pledging community and the people that are posting dogs for pledging, whether it's through you know, animal websites, rescue websites, anything that's on Facebook asking for pledges. The pledgers, a lot of full-fledged pledgers like myself, I won't say how much I end up pledging. I shock myself at the end of the year every year. But basically, we pledge, a lot of people will do $20, $50, $100 all over the place. And then it's hard to keep track of because these are the reasons why I think it's frustrating for people. Most pledges will say, wait until we tell you where to pledge to. And
mm-hmm.
it can be a day, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even a month until you know where the pledge is going. So my suggestion to some rescue groups, which has worked, is whoever's posting the photo, or even if they don't have time to coordinate, but choose a coordinator for that dog. And it could be the first person who pledged even to keep track of the pledges. And then once they know where the pledges are supposed to go, either message people or even just tag them again on the comment string so that it comes up on their Facebook page saying, okay, it's time to fulfill your pledge. Because so many, I would say 50% of pledges probably get lost in the shuffle.
Sure.
So that's like just the beginning of it.
That's a good idea. I like the fact how you mentioned nominating a coordinator. And because you do have to either take screenshots of who's saying what they're going to pledge, who that person is, and to be able to grasp them again for when the time comes where the dog
right.
is safe and at a vet boarding facility, quarantine, here's where you need to call it into. So excellent
right.
point. Excellent
right.
point, Wendy.
Yeah.
Is there anything
or
else
a rescue?
Like,
no, or a I mean, I just wanted to go over that because I think a lot of times pledgers are discouraged and frustrated because they weren't contacted, and then all of a sudden they see this email that says, you know, it's kind of like a hateful email saying, you know, we had $300 in pledges and there's only 100 that came through. What is wrong with you people? And it's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
We want to give the money, but we're not going to just throw it at anybody because sometimes there are people on a comment string that says, okay, we'll send this PayPal, send your PayPal pledge to Joe Schmo. So, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to make sure the money is going to the right place for that dog specifically because I've given pledges when I was promised it was going to this dog, and it turns out the dog was put to sleep. And they'll say, oh, well, we're just going to use your money for our, you know, the rescue for the other dogs. So that's just, you know, a careful point. On
how did you feel about that when you found that out?
Oh,
how was
I
your
was,
reaction?
Well, I said, you know, I pledged this specific dog because it was in a desperate, desperate situation. And they said, well, you know, we made a comment, but I was never contacted, and I did follow up on it, but it was so long that I said, well, it's fine that it's going to rescue other dogs, but there was no follow-through on the original dog
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
a time frame that was reasonable.
Wendy, where did you say? You're over on the west coast of Florida? Or
No, I'm up in Connecticut.
Oh, you're all the way up in Connecticut.
Yes, but I
wow.
do, you know, Facebook is nationwide, dog rescuing nationwide, transporting.
Worldwide. You got that
yeah.
right. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. I think it's
so
a great tool.
To
I really do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so, you know, Wendy, I'm so glad. How did you find out about the show today?
I think I was invited by a friend on Facebook, yeah.
Okay, terrific. This is our first show, in case you didn't hear the whole segment so far. And I know we're winding down to the last 10 minutes, but...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are still getting our feet wet, and believe me when I tell you, the next show will be on May 29th, and we'll really start promoting that as well. Next week, I am out of town for my daughter's graduation from college. But do you find this to be a necessity?
Which?
The radio show.
I think you should market and direct it directly to everybody you possibly can, but specifically the trendsetters, the people who are making decisions and the ones that are taking the time to make sure the dogs are safe. I think those people are the word of mouth people that can get to a lot of people. So of course market it to everybody, but I think you should definitely direct it to rescues, owners and the like.
Wendy, if you would be so kind, because we were communicating by way of private message, if you would be so kind, if you think of any links or any reputable rescues that come to mind, would you send them along my way, please, by private message?
Rescue? Yeah, I mean,
Whatever, like you said, the trendsetters. Who comes to mind? And with that, that's just, if you don't mind doing that little bit of homework, I guess you could call it, and to help me, because I'm working with a small army of serious dog lovers, but we are looking
yeah.
to, you know, help any way we can and extend to those that can help us for the sake
and
of the dog.
Wendy, this is Robin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, with your permission, send you a friend request. I'll get your information from Darcy, because I am more than willing to help you get that information that we need. As Darcy and Cherry both know, I have a little extra time on my hand. I'm disabled, so I'm home and have plenty of time
okay.
to help do things that others might
Terrific.
Not be able to do. So I am yours, and I will
okay.
send you a friend request if that's okay with you.
Yep,
and
I've already
we'll...
sent you the friend request, so you can just approve it, and then we can
awesome.
Chat
we'll,
offline.
Yeah, we'll rock and
well,
roll
thank
all
you.
Over it.
Thank,
okay,
you. I've got,
thank
oh,
you.
I've got only a few minutes left, but Wendy,
thank
you for
you.
Taking the time to call in and your patience. I can't thank you enough.
No, thank you. Keep up the info.
All right, you,
you
got it.
Okay,
take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Okay, Joan, are you still with us? Joan? Maybe Joan hung up. Well, we're wrapping it to the last 10 minutes, everybody.
Joan left us.
Okay. Thank you, Joan, for calling in if you're still listening. We only have 10 minutes left of this two-hour segment. Is there any other callers, Robin, that need to be patched in?
No.
Okay. All right. I can't see the chat room, but I'll figure that out for the next show. But we
Then it disappeared, so I'm in the same boat you are. So I'm dropping from one screen to another, flipping back and forth. And
okay. I see that there have been numbers that they probably call in.
They've gotten through.
Okay. Terrific.
Yeah, they've all gotten through because the minute they got through, I told Darcy I was going to bring them on live because I kept losing them. So.
Well, let me just sum up a few things before we end the show here. We will have another show, everybody, on May 29th. That's 2 weeks from today at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And I will promise in the future we will do an evening show at a later date, if that works for those that are working. Again, you can always bookmark this link and listen at your leisure. It's nice to be live because you can call in, but what Joan shared with me today from the Georgia Humane Society, that is mind-boggling, that if the state of Georgia can do it, then why the hell can't the state of Florida do it? Let's face it, we've got a lot of wealthy counties down here in this state, and we need to start speaking up on behalf of these dogs and these cats. We need to make changes. Again, it's like being in the wild, wild west. Anyone, as Sherry alluded to, can sit on their butt and be registered with the Department of Agriculture in Florida, and solicit donations. As long as it's not for a particular item, if you say, oh, just such and such many dollars will get me more food for these dogs, that's okay. You can call the IRS, you can call the internet fraud. They say as long as it's not, geared toward a specific picture, which we have caught people doing this, then that is bad news. But if you sit there, you can literally solicit for donations, and there are suckers out there that will follow your scam. But we are here to help change the thought process of the public and help educate the community and bring focus into what needs to be done for the sake of these animals. So I know that we're going to be cut off here shortly. Is there anything, Sherry or Robin, you would like to add before we go off the air?
I would just like to thank everybody that joined us this morning, and thank you for your patience with me. This is my first time as a producer, so if I dropped your call, I apologize, or if you had trouble getting through, but the further we continue with this, the better and better Robin will get. but I thank everybody for joining us here today, and look forward to talking to each of you more and more, because I think as a team, we have a lot of things that we can accomplish. And
terrific.
I think so far we're off to an awesome start.
I think so, too. And like I said, we are new at this. We didn't even do a test run, everybody. So you are listening, and most of what I spoke...
And Sherry's live now with us, too, if she wants to add something.
And what I spoke from today, 90% of that was shooting from the hip. So I think we've got a lot of information that we need to dig our teeth into for the next show. I do want to learn more about what Georgia's doing and how they are protecting their animals and why Florida is not following suit. And when you talk about a county versus a county, such as Palm Beach County versus Dade, you've got egos that you have to deal with. You've got different personalities that you have to deal with. These egos have to be put aside because we have to come together and unite as one for the sake of these animals.
Absolutely.
We
definitely have that same problem here in Central Florida. And anybody that's familiar with Rufus, the beagle, one-year-old beagle puppy, and they can go to my Facebook page and read all about him. But we got over 25,000 signatures on a change.org petition to save a one-year-old beagle's life at Orange County Animal Services, which is just ridiculous. You know, it's a baby. The dog made a mistake, and the owner, it's actually not the dog's mistake, it's the owner's mistake, and she admitted to it. And I'm very grateful that she was given this dog back, and the dog is safely at home with her, because we fought very hard for that.
Well, Robin,
we
on that note, you have to share your Facebook page because no one knows your last name. So if you want, please also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm pretty much blocked from the world, but but my last name is King. It's R-O-B-Y-N, and my last name is King, K-I-N-G. And if you send me a friend request and then write me a mail that'll go to my other, don't give Facebook the dollar, please. And you could say you talk to me here, and I will friend you immediately, and we'll take it from there.
How many Robin Kings are in the world of Facebook? There's got to be a lot. That's a popular last name, I think.
R-O-B-Y-N-K-I-N-G.
What does your icon look like? So what are you, what's your icon?
My icon is like a picture of a sun.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
I know what it looks like, but you need to tell our readers because they don't know. Our listeners don't know.
Yeah, they'll see. And I think it says I went to the School of Hard Knocks and also the University of Florida.
Okay. Well, with that being said, on a quick note, Sherry, do you want to add anything before we shut down?
No, I think a lot of information was put out and a lot more can be researched and shared in the future.
Well, I like what Wendy has, these trendsetters, and she's calling all the way from Connecticut. I know we've got people listening from the world because we do have followers on our dog rescue page. And as a reminder, before we shut down here, please, people, if you haven't already liked our page, we are working hard on our own time to help, you know, educate the public. Again, if you would be so kind to like our page, dogrescues-the-good-the-bad-and-the-ugly-of-South-Florida. We would be forever grateful. Again, this is Darcy Odie Butkus. I am your main host for this radio show. We will be reuniting again in 2 more weeks. We will send out links, emails, what have you, and hopefully you'll be able to join us. And again, thank you to my producers, Sherry and Robin. I couldn't have done this without the both of you. So with that, everybody, have a great day. Love your animals. And be kind to your animals because they are always kind to you. So thank you, everybody. And I'm going to go ahead and sign off. Robin and Sherry, let's sign off, and then I'll meet you guys in the chat room over on Facebook. Okay, everybody,
bye.
Thanks again. Okay,
thank you,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Good day. Good day.